With us now is Catherine Ross, librarian at Dawson School for Girls in Auckland, with a recommendation and review of books for children and young adults. With us now is Catherine. Kia ora, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Wallace. How are you?
I am very well this afternoon. Thank you very much. Now, what do you have for us?
So I'm going to talk today about some unreliable narrator books, which is always a really popular sort of theme because it can be so engaging and difficult to gauge if it's done right. It's quite often done wrong, which is never good, but there are a lot of good books out there, so I thought that would be a good one to talk about.
Firstly, when you mention that, when you talk about the unreliable narrator, what do you mean?
So basically, unreliable narrators are usually told in the first person, hence we have a narrator. And for whatever reason, sometimes it's because of their age, sometimes it's because they're actively being deceptive, sometimes it's the circumstances, they are telling a story that is not quite all it seems.
I see.
The reader's obviously quite often not aware of that. Until the very end or until things are revealed. So it's usually a surprise sometimes to the narrator, but usually to the reader especially. So the only problem I will say with doing a theme like this is obviously if people do then like the sound of the book and want to go out and read it, is that you're already going into it a little bit aware and looking for the deception, which I'm very aware of because I do that as well. So I'm going to be very, very careful not to reveal too much.
Okay, good.
Not spoil anything. So the first book I want to talk about, probably for ages sort of 10 plus, is called The Star Outside My Window, and it's by Anjali Rauf, and I apologise if I have mispronounced that. So this is about a 10-year-old Anya and her younger brother Noah, and their mum. They were all playing hide-and-seek from their dad in a place that Anya remembers as the hotel that wasn't really a hotel. And when their mum suddenly has to leaving the kids with a friend and doesn't come back, Anya and Noah find themselves in foster care. So a few weeks later, as they're sort of getting used to their new reality, Anya sees on the news that a new star has appeared in the sky, and it's not following normal gravitational rules. It's coming close to Earth. It's going to pass by very close to Earth. And she realizes what this is. She realizes this is her mum coming to say goodbye. Which is so heartbreaking. And when the Greenwich Observatory in London announce a competition to name the star, she's horrified because, of course, the star already has a name. It's her mum. So she and her brother Noah and her foster brothers make a plan to head off to London to stop the competition and to give the star the right name. So, look, it's huge, heavy themes. This is a story told through the traumatised, confused, heartbroken eyes of a young girl who has grown up in a household ruled by domestic violence. That is what the book is about at the end. And she is just assumes her experiences are normal, and it's only slowly that the reality is revealed to the reader because she's too young to quite grasp what's going on. So hugely profound book, perfectly aimed at this age group, though.
I have to say it, it's heartbreaking, but in the same sense, quite a beautiful theme as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as I say, perfectly aimed at this age group. It's not the readers will get what they need to get out of
it.
Yes. Some of them will pick up on what's going on. Others will just enjoy the story. And it's a very, very special story. She's a very clever writer.
Oh, that's wonderful. I've got to make a mental note of that, actually. That's The Star Outside My Window, Anjali Q. Rauf. Lovely. October 2019 published. Okay, so this one is called Liar and Spy. Tell us about this.
So this is what I did go into, knowing that it was an unreliable narrator, so I was on the lookout. But to be honest, there are so many red herrings in this book and strange characters, you really can't tell which one is going to be the big twist. So this is about a young boy called George. He's about 12, 13. He's just moved out of his very much loved house and into an apartment building because his father's lost his job. So they needed to downsize. And mum is a nurse and working, you know, endless double shifts to bring money in. So she's not around very often. So when George goes into, discovers a note in his building for a spy club, he decides to look into it. And he meets another resident of the building, 12-year-old Safer. Now, don't ask me about the name. It does come up in the book, but it's I can't go into it, but it is all revealed in the book.
Yeah.
And so he recruits George to help with this secret mission. So it's a really engaging story, and you just keep wondering. Everybody's just that little bit off. All the characters seem a little bit weird, and you just keep thinking, oh, it's him. Oh, what's happening? Oh, what's going on? And you can't get to it until you reach the end. It does have quite big, important themes in the end, but actually it's a very uplifting book, which is quite nice.
Very cool. Yeah,
Lyra. Stories aren't always.
Lyra and Spy, Rebecca said. I'm just thinking in terms of young adult writing, is there, you mentioned that earlier, around themes of domestic violence or even hardship in the home, is there a responsibility for young adult authors to subtly maneuver their way through these themes to be it enough of a good read, but also raise some important issues in a sensitive way?
Absolutely. I feel that. Unfortunately, yeah, it's not always done. Often okay. It's done for marketing purposes because they are big themes, and they're themes that young adults are drawn to, drug taking, abuse, things like that, often because it's not part of their world and other times because it is. And so, yes, I think that you absolutely have a responsibility to write accurately, to encourage the right moves, and bring this up as something that is not normal, that is not a good thing. But it doesn't always happen, unfortunately. But I always try, any books that I would talk about on my blog or that I talk about, obviously to Jesse and listeners, I feel have dealt with these issues in a good, responsible way that children can understand and come to grips with what they need to out of these issues, and will actually go, if they don't understand, and have a conversation with a trusted adult and take it.
Oh, that's great. That's a great hazard, Catherine. For those parents out there listening or young adults, what is your blog so they can get a bit of a heads up on what and how to read?
Okay, so it's usually set in a link at the end of the show. We'll put a link in on the website, just because it's quite a mouthful. So it's the Bibliognos Bampot, which is, but I was late to the blog, to the book review blogging, and had very minimal choices. But it is always put in a link on the website after I finish talking.
Okay, so that is rnz.co.nz/afternoons. And you can see this feature with Catherine Ross, and just click on that. Okay, so we've talked about The Star Outside My Window, Lyra and Spy by Rebecca Stead, and this one for ages 12 plus. This is by E. Locker. It's called We Were Liars. Tell us about this book.
Yeah, so this is quite an old one. It's been knocking about for a while, but it is still hugely popular. We've got 3 or 4 copies in our library, and they're always out. So this is about a girl called Cadence, and she is nearly 18. She and her 6 cousins spend every summer on their wealthy family's private island off the coast of America. A few summers ago, there was some sort of mishap, and Cadence received a head injury during the mishap, which has left her still suffering from migraines and amnesia. So she can't remember anything about the incident or that summer. And since her father hasn't taken her back to the island, won't let her go back to the island, and her cousins seem to have stopped communicating with her. So none of this is obviously a good sign. No one will give her a straight answer on what's happened. So this is the story is kind of revealing, getting to the bottom of what actually happened. I'll be honest here, it's not a particularly clever premise. And I did find the ending a little bit unsatisfying, a bit frustrating, to be honest. But it has certainly hit its mark with young adults out there. I don't know, maybe it's the idyllic setting, maybe it's the wealthy, indulged lifestyle, maybe it's the messed up family dynamics, but it certainly is appealing and has definitely got that readability for young adults. And it's reasonably clever. I did see it coming, but a lot of people didn't. But no, it's a very popular book.
Yeah, nice one. Shall we do one more? And can I jump into this book here? It's for ages 14 plus. Seen the film? Fantastic.
Yes.
what a film!
Yeah.
Haven't read the book. I have always been meaning to, and that book is Atonement.
Atonement. So Ian McEwan, very well-known author. We know it's going to be well-written straight away because of the author. Now, I have to say, I did not know a thing about this book when I went into it, reading it. I had no clue what was coming, and so finished the book in a small wet puddle on the floor. So I'm just putting that out there and warning you. So this is similar to the movie. It's set in 1935 in England. It is about a young teenager called Bryony Tallis, and she accidentally stumbles across evidence of a flirtation, a budding romance, between her older sister Cecilia and the housekeeper's son Robbie. Now, from her very self-important, simplistic perspective, 13-year-old perspective, Bryony feels that Robbie is not good enough for her sister, and that in some way he's forcing her or manipulating her into this relationship, and that something has to be done before her sister's life and reputation is ruined. But when at a family gathering her older cousin is attacked, Bryony is the only witness. And even though she never sees the face of the attacker, she convinces herself it's Robbie. People believe her, the police believe her, and he is convicted and charged. He's charged and convicted of the crime. So then it's told in several parts, the story. So the next part is a few years later, Robbie's had his sentence commuted in return for fighting for his country during the Second World War. Bryony, in the meantime, with the hindsight, maturity and time, has realised that actually Robbie was innocent, and she is now working as a combat nurse. And when she comes across Robbie and her sister, she actually tries to persuade them to let her try and take it back, to go to the police and get his sentence overturned. But they want nothing to do with her, they just want to get on with their lives. And so that's all very fine, but then you get to the last chapter. And I will leave it there, but do read the last chapter, otherwise it doesn't make sense. But Barrett, you'll want to slap her senseless and then somehow travel back in time and stop it all from happening.
Good grief.
A great book.
Ian McEwan's Atonement there. Wonderful, Catherine. Kia ora, and thank you very much for your wonderful pick this afternoon.
No problem. Thanks very much, Wallace.